First, let's take a look at our headlines for this hour.
Employment is a priority of the Cuban state.
Cuban foreign minister condemns aggressive U.S. foreign policy.
Donald Trump considers total naval blockade of Venezuela.
Russian president supports Syrian army attacks on terrorists in Idlib.
And now the news in detail.
Establishing a more coherent relationship between supply and demand of a skilled workforce, promoting professional development and updating knowledge, as well as improving the innovation system and income distribution, are strategic guidelines to resolve the problems of employment in Cuba. On the front page of this morning's edition of Granma newspaper, it's noted that Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel is checking 57 measures of immediate, short and medium-term implementation, focused by the Ministry of Labor and Social Security and the Faculty of Economics of the University of Havana. According to the presidency website, Díaz-Canel insisted on the need to take into account work from home with adequate control mechanisms and contracts backed by the labor code. In addition, sectors of the economy where it is more feasible to use this modality are being studied. Amongst other suggestions of the Cuban president were studies of employment issues and assigning researchers to study and provide solutions to the area's problems. As of 2018, Cuba employed 4,482,700 workers. Of them, 3,067,000 in the state sector and 1,415,700 in the non-state sector of the economy. Cuba has a 1.7% unemployment rate.
Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez has condemned the foreign policy of the U.S. government as a threat to world peace and stability. Donald Trump recently has suggested to his national security advisors the deployment of Navy ships along the Venezuelan coast to prevent the entry and exit of goods. Another demonstration of Washington's imperialist behavior is its interest in purchasing Greenland, an issue that, in Trump's own words, would be discussed with Denmark, even though the Danish authorities denied that it is for sale.
U.S. President Donald Trump has proposed deploying Navy ships along the Venezuelan coast to prevent deliveries in or out of the country. According to the Axios News site, Trump seriously discussed the idea of the maritime blockade of Venezuela with his security advisers. Axios quotes an anonymous source as saying that the Pentagon discarded the proposal because it would mean deploying a large number of U.S. Navy forces and was, quote, inconsistent with the legal framework, unquote. Defense officials also said a total blockade would be extremely difficult to put in place. The Navy reportedly would need more resources than it can provide to establish a maritime blockade. As recently as August the 1st, Donald Trump responded affirmatively when a reporter asked him if he was considering a quarantine or blockade of Venezuela. On August the 5th, Trump signed an executive order to ban all transactions and a total blockade of the assets of the Venezuelan government in the United States. It also imposes secondary sanctions on foreign individuals and companies that support Caracas. In response, Venezuelan authorities organized a mass signature campaign to express their rejection of the total U.S. blockade. To date, they've collected more than 1 million signatures that will be presented to the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has expressed Moscow's support for the military operation carried out by Syrian government troops against foreign-backed terrorists in the Arab country's northwestern province of Idlib. Quote, we support the efforts of the Syrian army to end these terrorist threats, end quote, in Idlib, Putin said in a meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron in France on Monday, adding, we never said that an Idlib terrorist would feel at ease. Russia began an aerial bombardment campaign against militants in Syria on a request from Syria's elected government in September of 2015. Idlib remains the only large area in the hands of foreign-backed terrorists after the Syrian army, backed by Iran and Russia, managed to take back control of almost all of the country's land, undoing terrorist gains. The government forces have gained more ground against Takfiri militants in the southern edge of Idlib in their latest offensive that was launched earlier this month.
And you've tuned to the news here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the International Shortwave Radio Frequencies of RHC, Radio Havana, Cuba. Now let's go back over to our news.
Ana Elsa Velasquez, Cuba's Minister of Education, has been briefed about the 2019-20 school year in the eastern province of Holguín. During a meeting with teachers and educational workers, it was announced that over 1,200 educational institutions are being opened in the province, where more retired teachers are being reinstated after increases in salaries. The Minister of Education showed an interest in the preparations for the upcoming school year, and specifically the situation in Holguín, recognized as the largest school district in the country.
Teresa Amreye Bouye, member of the Political Bureau of the Communist Party and General Secretary of the Federation of Cuban Women, pointed to the current conditions of our country where more young women are joining the ranks of the Federation. In comments to the newspaper Juventud Rebelde, Teresa Amreye spoke of the 59th anniversary of the foundation of the organization on August 23rd. She said that the women's organization, made up of more than 4 million Cubans, will celebrate another anniversary remembering its historic president, Vilma Espín.
The United States Navy is, quote, ready, unquote, to act in favor of Washington's interests in Venezuela, says a top American commander. U.S. Southern Command Chief Admiral Craig Fowler made the claims Monday in the Brazilian city of Rio de Janeiro as the United States kicked off its annual Unitas Maritime exercise. Quote, I won't speak to details of what we are planning and what we are doing, but we remain ready to implement policy decisions and we remain on the balls of our feet, Fowler told reporters. He further bragged about U.S. military might, claiming that the Navy is ready to do, quote, what needs to be done, unquote. U.S. President Donald Trump has previously asserted that his administration is considering a, quote, blockade or quarantine, unquote, against the Latin American nation. Fowler further boasted that the UNITAS military drills would, quote, send a message, unquote, to the rest of the world.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has expressed Moscow's support for the military operation carried out by Syrian government troops against foreign-backed terrorists in the Arab country's northwestern province of Idlib. Quote, we support the efforts of the Syrian army to end these terrorist threats in Idlib, Putin said in a meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron in France on Monday, adding, we never said that an Idlib terrorist would feel at ease. Russia began an aerial bombardment campaign against militants in Syria on a request from Syria's elected government in September of 2015. Idlib remains the only large area in the hands of foreign-backed terrorists after the Syrian army, backed by Iran and Russia, managed to take back control of almost all of the country's land, undoing terrorist gains. The government forces have gained more ground against Takfiri militants in the southern edge of Idlib in their latest offensive that was launched earlier this month.
U.S. Democratic representatives Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib have stepped up their criticism of the Israeli regime after being banned from traveling to Tel Aviv, asking their colleagues to visit the occupied Palestinian territories to experience firsthand the regime's cruel policies and how they affect Palestinians. Omar said in a joint press conference with Tlaib that suggested U.S. President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu were working to keep lawmakers from fulfilling their oversight duties. Quote, I would encourage my colleagues to visit, meet with the people we are going to meet with, see the things we were going to see, hear the stories we were going to hear, unquote, Omar said. Quote, we cannot let Trump and Netanyahu succeed in hiding the cruel reality of the occupation from us, unquote. Netanyahu's regime said Saturday it would deny entry to Tlaib and Omar of Minnesota following an appeal from Trump. The lawmakers, who were planning a trip to both Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and the West Bank, are supporters of the anti-Israeli boycott, divestment, sanctions, the BDS movement, and have publicly criticized the regime. This despite pressure from both sides of the aisle.
Five Palestinians have been injured by Israeli forces escorting hundreds of settlers into a shrine in the occupied West Bank. Ma'an news agency quoted local sources as saying that clashes erupted between local Palestinians and Israeli forces after hundreds of Israeli settlers attempted to enter the compound of Joseph's tomb east of Nablus under Israeli protection in the early hours of Tuesday. According to the report, the Israeli forces fired rubber bullets, tear gas canisters, and sound bombs at the Palestinians. Joseph's tomb is situated in the West Bank so-called Area A, which is controlled by the Palestinian Authority. However, the Israeli military allows the settlers to visit the site without the approval of the authority.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Employment is a priority of the Cuban state.
Cuban foreign minister condemns aggressive U.S. foreign policy.
Donald Trump considers total naval blockade of Venezuela.
Russian president supports Syrian army attacks on terrorists in Idlib.